Erev Tov Rabotai. All right, so it's another Wednesday night. I'll open the floor to some Musar, Hashkafa, Machshava questions.
This one isn't accurate.
Oh, okay, anyway. So I just want to start with a little intro. Yeah, I'm starting. Yeah. So just to, I don't know, it came up, somebody asked me about something today. And I want to just mention, we live in a generation where, you know, obviously we're coming off of Parashat Kedoshim, there's Mitzvat Aseh Min HaTorah, to be Mekadeshim Shamayim, and we live in a generation where especially I find many times people are confused about the definition of Kiddush Shem Shamayim. And that becomes even more, the problem becomes compounded when we deal with all sorts of Jewish/frum media outlets, and they make Kiddush Hashem, you know, those, you know, clickbaits, Kiddush Hashem, and there's a, you know, when they make a minion in the Devil's Rangers game and whatever, Kiddush Hashem, right? It's, you know, there's a lot of things, and you know, I'm not saying that there's no chesed or whatever, but the term Kiddush Hashem is just so overly used, reused, and abused, because it's not that. If you think about it, as important as the game is, I was never a hockey fan, so I can't really commiserate with all those. But as important as the game is, I remember back in the day, this was a long time ago, I was in high school, and there was a Jets game. Okay, the Jets came out Be'asara B'Tevet. So what did they do? There's a bunch of guys, they made a thing, that this was also out in the media, and they wanted to make the game, but it's also Asara B'Tevet, which means they have to have Mincha, there's Sefer Torah, Sfaradim have Birkat Kohanim, they weren't Sfaradim, but it doesn't matter. So what do? So they tailgated, right? Tailgate party. So what's a tailgate party? So everybody else is with their burgers and hot dogs and whatever, and they brought a Sefer Torah to the Meadowlands to be able to daven mincha shel Asara B'Tevet and still make the game. What do we call that? Kiddush Hashem.
Really?
No.
I'm
being facetious. Being Mekadeshim Shamayim is doing the will of Hashem in front of Asara Yisrael. When a person does a mitzvah in front of Asara Yisrael, that's a Kiddush Hashem. When a person does an Avera in front of Asara Yisrael, that's a Chilul Hashem. There are even higher levels of Kiddush Hashem, which are situations where a person needs to give up his life to Bim Kadeshem Shamayim. That's an even higher level. But all of these other things are Shtuyot, and I feel like we live in a world that's distorted, that where, you know, I'm not going to get, maybe that's a different shir, but all of the possible isurim involved in going to a game, basketball, football, baseball, hockey, what have you, that's a shir. But yeah, but at least there's a kosher stand, and at least there's a, you know, at least there's a minion. That doesn't necessarily make it a Kiddush Hashem. Okay, so that's, I just want to put things in perspective. You hear these things, and sometimes you get brainwashed. Wow, you know, the Jewish kid caught the foul ball, and he gave it to the kid sitting next to him. Kiddush Hashem. No, you're not supposed to be there. Yeah, and I'm not getting into the hashkafics of that either. But even the halachics, and I'm not saying that it's, you know, isur gamur and yareg vel yavur to go to a game. But let's keep things in perspective. You know what I'm saying? Going to Beis Medrash and learning during Seder is a kiddush. Shalom, shalom bracha, shalom. Is a, he's hired. Anyway, was he told something? Around there. Anyway, yeah. Okay. But davening like a mensch is a kiddush Hashem. Learning like a mensch during Seder when you're supposed to is a Kiddush Hashem. All these things are Kiddush Hashem Shamayim. Don't, you know, don't fall for the decoys. Everything else is just not. So as much as, you know, Jewish media likes to plaster it out there, Kiddush Hashem, don't get fooled. Understand what the real halachic Kiddush versus Chilul Hashem is. So that was my prologue for tonight, and I'm going to open the floor. So go ahead.
Yeah.
Before his, yeah.
Yes, or the Gemara says, when can another, even if it's not a real avera, even if it's minhag Yisrael, the Gemara says, but when the goy is doing it in order to be ma'avir otanu al datenu, when he's doing it bedavka to, you know, to break our Judaism and to make us transgress in isur, not just lehanato, that also becomes yerek ve'al yavor. Ayin, there's a sugya Sanhedrin daf samach dalet. It's brought down. It's also in Yored De'a Siman Kuf Nun He through Kuf Nun Zayin speaks about these halachot. Yeah.
Just a thought also that if there's no Jews around, like let's say someone wants to help them up, so if there's only going around, what's that called?
So that's a low grade Kiddush Hashem, because as the Torah says very clearly, V'nikdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael. The real mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem is when it's being done in front of Asaram Yisrael. So if you're doing a mitzvah, if you're acting like a man, Shubadirich Eretz b'midot tovot in front of Goyim, that's a wonderful thing. It brings, you know, we're Orla Goyim, but it's not Kiddush Hashem in the Torah sense of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, but it's still Kiddush Hashem in that we're shedding a good light onto Am Yisrael. Yeah. That is true, but not necessarily the highest level. That's what I was explaining now. The mitzvah of Kiddush and Chilul, the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem and the Isser Chilul Hashem are really when it's being done in front of Jews. And that's the Givonim that was after. He did, instead of killing them, he treated them nicely, even though they lied. And anybody remember what Yehoshua did to the Givonim? Tanakh people, yeah. He gave them, you know, inferior jobs. Yeah, who's next? Yeah,
how about within Am Yisrael, but it's within an environment of where there's a king. For example, I'm sure Rabbi Yehuda half time shem.
Yes, I've spoken about that before. Again, not chalina to step on anybody's toes. You want my opinion and my Rebbeim's opinion on halftime shows, or not chas v'shalom, but you know, halftime for Torah, or whatever, you know, some sort of shir that's supposed to be replacing the halftime show. So, nothing can chalila ever be wrong with Torah. But I'll tell you what is wrong hashkafically and even halachically with making like a matzav of like a shir instead of the halftime show. The optics are very bad. That showing, a Jew showing, that I am Meshu'abad, beliv and nefesh to the Super Bowl. I cannot free myself of it. It's not like I can be learning. Now, not to say, I'm not comparing, there are other places that they have a Super Bowl Seder, a special Seder during the Super Bowl. Well, and that's a wonderful thing. So in yeshivas and shuls, they have a Super Bowl Seder, and you know, for people who would have been otherwise tempted to watch the Super Bowl, they have a special Seder with food and whatever. That's a wonderful thing. But what I'm talking about is not that the shirim that they have during the halftime show. So they say we're going to put the Torah there because otherwise he's going to watch Marot Asurot during the Super Bowl, right? That's the taina, right? That's the logic behind it. La'aniyut da'ati, that logic is flawed because if a person is mishu'abad to watching the Super Bowl, now again I'm talking about kids that. In general, you know, American kids, even from American kids, are usually, not usually, but many of them are into sports. But usually that's something you grow out of. You should grow out of sports as you get older. It's a maturity thing. It's an outlet, but as you get older, you're supposed to find more, you know, more productive outlets, even if you can't necessarily always be learning or whatever. But in general, if you're a wholesome, frum adult, you should be grown out of sports. I'm not going to say what the cutoff age is, but at a certain age, you should be grown. Yes, Rabotai, agree? It's supposed to be like a passing fad. Oh, you know, I had kids in my class. It's unreal. People, they knew all the stats of all the players. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about, you know, Patrick Ewing's Knicks. This is, you know, light years, eons ago. But and these kids, I wasn't so into sports. But these kids know all the stats and here, and they know everything. And I'm thinking to myself, and people have a hard time, you know, say, how do you remember Masechtot? How do you remember Marei Mekomot? And then I think back to all these kids, and even sometimes adults, and they know these stats and plays and years and what are you talking about? That guy's also an Eloi. That guy's also a Gaon. You just have to apply yourself. If you love the Torah like you love the sports, then you'd remember all the Torah stats, don't you think?
Think about that. That's a big one. You don't have to be an Eloi to remember everything in the Torah. You just have to apply yourself. You have to love what you're learning. It's a big thing. Now, that being said, there are certain people that even if they do, I'm not saying that even when they are mature or whatever, but they have this thing, you know, the Super Bowl, it's a big zach. Okay, fine. I'm not saying mutar, asur, not getting into the halachics of that right now, moshav letzim, or, you know, marot asurot, or diburim asurim, things like that, but put that aside for a second. Let's say a person has this urge or need to watch the Super Bowl. Why do you have to drag the Torah into it? Well, if I don't, you know, if not, then I'm going to watch marot asurot. Why does the Torah have to fall prey to your... Yeah, this is a chiseron. The fact that you have to watch the Super Bowl is a chiseron on that person's part. That everybody on this, whether you look at it as a chiseron or not, that's a different story. Why do you have to drag the Torah through the mud because you have to watch the Super Bowl? Meaning, and then what happens? The Torah is our highest, most supreme asset value system in life is the Torah Kedosha. The Torah is not some filler. You know what silicone is? Silicone, right? If there's a crack or whatever, you fill it with silicone. The Torah is not silicone. It's not there to seal cracks. The Torah is kim chayenu v'orachemenu. It's not there just to replace the Torah is echetimtza to seal the cracks between the two halves of the Super Bowl so it doesn't watch marot asurot. What? Many people wouldn't have thought of it like that, but now that I'm telling you, think about it for a second. How degrading is that to the Torah Kedosha? The Torah is not something that you do as a b'di'avad, as a b'di'evid. The Torah is not something you do because otherwise I'm going to be watching Marot Asurot. The Torah is us. We are the Torah. We live and breathe. Now, if a person can't do it all the time, okay, that's a different story. We can't always do it anyway. A person has to work. A person has to go do parnasa or limudechol or whatever it is. So we can't always do it. But Torah is not a filler. Torah is the main course. You understand? And it kind of makes people, okay, you know, we'll have a shiur just to keep us Torah doesn't keep us entertained. It's actually today's daf in Masechet Sota, daf lamed he, in daf ayomi, the Gemara today said, David HaMelech called the Torah, anybody remember what David HaMelech called the Torah and he was punished for it? Zemirot, called it music. Zemirot hayu lichukecha bevet megurai. He called it Zemirot. And Hashem said, and what is, don't forget, David HaMelech was a musician. His life was about music. The whole Tehillim, he said, "Shirot v'tishbachot la'Kadosh Baruch Hu." And he was saying in the best way. Rashi HaKadosh explains over there, why did David HaMelech call the Torah music? Because every time he was being chased by his enemies and he got scared, he delved in the Torah and that calmed him down. And he called that a shashua, entertainment, a pleasure, something to keep his mind occupied. Hashem says, "You're calling my Torah zmirot a song?" Hashem says, I'm going to be machshil otcha uta halacha that even tinokot shel bet rabban know. And the Gemara over there says how David HaMelech got punished. Uzzah died as a result of David HaMelech's mistake. Whole big story. But what? The Torah is not a song. The Torah is not a filler. The Torah is not a preservative. The Torah is kim chayinu v'ruchemenu. It's nothing else but that. And to use it as such is degrading to the Torah. We know the Gemara tells us about Torah. Torah munachat bekeren zavit. Kol harotze litol yavo v'iton. We don't go around. You know, the Torah doesn't chase people. The Torah's in the, right? Where's the Sefer Torah? Aron Kodesh. You want it? Go get it. That's where it is. Torah doesn't chase us. We chase it. We don't use it to play. So that's another very, very, there's something, and I bounced this idea off of my Rebbeim, and they very much agreed with it. Forget about the Super Bowl itself, you know. I'm talking about Litvish Rashiva. Super Bowl! I'm talking about like, Let's say we're having a conversation about the Super Bowl, but this is next level. They're not Super Bowl. This is being degrading to the Torah Kedusha. Do you understand what I'm saying? A totally different thing. Okay, next. Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy how like you just grow so very, very, very. It's
crazy
how much like it is. I think a lot.
I'm talking about pritzos.
What?
Pritzos.
Not necessarily just pritzos.
Okay.
Like just different concepts, different like ideologies, different movements out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it comes definitely from the media, maybe from more political parties.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say like the supermarket and
yeah.
The person's dressed funky or whatever it is. Like, how do you, how do you explain things to your kids when it's like the creature world we live in? Like, how are you supposed to expose that or teach that properly? Because like kids pick up on things, they notice things, they observe. It's like, how are you supposed to introduce it? Really? Do you ask questions? Like,
You ask a very loaded question. It's a very, no, I appreciate the question, and it's very, it's multifaceted. There's not one size fits all answer, because there's a lot of things that they can be exposed to. Pritzus, kfira, anti-Torah ideology, many different things that they can be, and they will be exposed to. And what do you think? It only happens in America? What do you think? It only happens in Democratic New York State? It happens everywhere. It happens in Eretz Yisrael also. It happens everywhere. You know, this is the crazy world that we live in. Depending on what the matter is, and depending on the how inquisitive the child is, many times the child will ask. The Ramban writes that a child, that a father will never lie to his child. There's a chazakah that a father never lies to his child. So when your child asks, you have to be as honest as possible while trying to preserve their innocence. And depending what the topic is, you have to know, many times you need guidance. You need sometimes you need to ask a shayla to either a rav or a chinuch expert to know how to deal with these things. There's actually, Baruch Hashem, I'm happy to have seen numerous books in English that talk about kedusha, shmirat ha'inayim, shmirat ha'brit. You know, even, you know, these used to be things in my, when I was a kid, certain things were taboo. You know what I'm saying? You don't talk about it. But we're being forced to identify and talk about these things, and Baruch Hashem, it's coming out in a healthy Torah-dic way. You know, there's a sefer written by Rav Shimon Finkelman called Zos Brisi. Excellent book. There's a sefer written by Dr. Shlomi Zimmerman, a friend of mine from Misifta, happens to be. I think it's called From Boys to Men, meaning how to broach these Kedusha topics with your grown. Now, you don't have children yet, but when you do, you have to be prepared. And it's not only, you know, everybody goes through what we call the Kedusha talk. And so different communities have different shittas about how to broach that talk. And, you know, these are things, like Chazal tell us, which means there are certain things that are better left low-key. And, you know, from Av Livno, from Rav Letalmido, there are certain things that are best kept under wraps. But we're in a generation where these things... So, again, I don't mean to, you know, kind of not answer the question, but it's kind of a broad question. But the parent should be honest and explain these things based on a Torah way. And I do want to share with you something that I heard multiple times from Meir Baim in the Mir Shiva. As you know, now again, not necessarily everybody would agree with this, but this is the Kabbalah that I have from Meir Baim. Guys, especially in high school, early years, Beis Medrash, you know, teenage, early 20s, those ages, especially from guys, you know, the Torah requires separation of the genders until marriage, and you know, especially when you're growing up, you're hormonal and things like that, and guys have tavot, that's extremely natural. I heard several times from this specific Rebbe of mine, I don't know if he wants to be quoted in this context, but he said, many times I heard him give him an itza, sometimes Bahurim come to Rebbe and they'll say, Rebbe, I have a problem with a certain taiva, what can I do in order to curb it, in order to channel it, what should I do? And he told them, I heard this with my own ears, told them to learn certain gemarot, you know, in certain gemarot in Nida, certain gemarot in Ketubot, you know, they're pretty, you know, pretty graphic gemarot throughout Shas that talk about certain things. And he says, you learn those gemarot and that will help your yetzer hara subside. But one second, I thought, and he said specifically certain gemarot in Masechet Nida. He's single. He says, Kabbalah merabotai, he had a Kabbalah from his Rebbeim, that nothing bad can ever come from Limud HaTorah. Limud HaTorah, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Kiddushin, is the antidote to the Yetzer Hara, which means, now again, what are you doing? You're channeling that natural Tava towards Limud HaTorah. It has that Segula that it's able to be Mashkit, that specific Tava or Yetzer Hara, and it really helps. Maybe not everybody agrees, but I've seen Rebbeim of mine actually say that, and it helps. Yeah.
In some classes in Torah, there are teachers that say,
don't get me in trouble.
Spread.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Professors, not
a
man.
Okay. Baruch Hashem, it's much better here than anywhere else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's...
For example, like, recently I'm taking a medical course.
Okay.
So, the teacher was talking about that
SRC, they can't let your personal beliefs affect your business or how you conduct yourself or how you relate to others. So,
is there a way to understand that this concept is not kfira, meaning is it just like don't let your feelings overcome your business acumen as opposed to letting, well, separate your values from your business? Can you give me an example of that concept?
For example, if let's say something is not, for example, let's say a yichud shadow.
Uh-huh.
That would be dope then, due to that concept.
Is that so? Meaning what? Meaning do business at all costs, even at the cost of yichud. But what concept in business would tell me to do that? I mean, I'm saying, like, who said, what if I don't want to succeed at this cost? You know what I'm saying? Well, if it was a philosophy class, I have, but if it's a business class, so I don't want to engage in business in this way. You have what I'm saying? What compels me?
That's definitely saying that you can't have that, like, I don't want to. The one, because you love it.
Again.
I
never took this course. I don't know. I can't speak to it. Maybe there's some sort of misunderstanding. And again, but you're bright enough to understand. You know, you're yeshiva guy. You're b'nei Torah. You understand that the Torah comes before all. That's not a question. Torah and halacha and midot and derech eretz, that is our life. That's the ikar, right? The sun of our solar system is the Torah Kedoshah. Everything revolves around it. Yeah? The geocentric theory was already disproven by Galileo. That's dead. The sun is in the middle of the solar system. The sun is the Torah Kedoshah. That's the Kiner Mitzvah VeTorah Or. The Torah gives light. Business and money and stature and fame and everything else revolves around the Torah Kedoshah and not the other way around. That's it. Simple. You know, Torah before all. That's how we live and breathe as Jews. And that's simple. I can't speak to that. Maybe there's another, maybe there's like a Tosfos on that concept that explains it a little bit different. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But
I was just asking everyone to come back with that while also trying to get a degree.
It's a hard shaila. I would, Beimet, honestly, I would refer you to Dr. Sokol about that. To see what he would say. Because that's his, you know, his Tamid Chacham and an academic. And he would be able to tell you how to find the cup. It's a legitimate shaila. I get it. And you know, and I know, and he knows, Torah is above all. That's it. Finished. How that, now everything else, let's work it out. Maybe it means, you know, like the Gemara says sometimes, Leikashya, right? Kan kacha, kan kacha. It didn't really mean that. Okay. And guess what? Even if it's a stira, the Torah still wins. The Torah will always win. Yeah? Next question. Anybody else? Go ahead.
When some people, for example, some people try to prove science using, the Torah says this, and that's a way to, like, say that science is false. Isn't there a way to combine both science and Torah?
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. So there's actually a very interesting you bring that up. The Chikre Lev, anybody ever heard of him? One of the greatest Gdolei Poskim of the Sfaradim ever. Hagaon Rabbi Yosef Rafael Chazan. He was a Rishon Lezion. Before he became Rishon Lezion in Eretz Yisrael, he was the Chacham Bashi in Turkey, in Izmir. He was the maternal grandfather of Rabbeinu Chaim Palachi. That everybody, yes? Rabbeinu Chaim Palachi? Geona Geonim. So his mother's father was the Chikre Lev, Rabbi Yosef Rafael Chazan. And he has a whole set of Shelot Tshuvot Chikre Lev, which are Chakiris La'alacha. Rav Chaim Palachi passed away in the 1800s, so this is probably late 17, early 1800s in Turkey. Anyway, in Turkey and then Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, Mikol Makom, so he has a tshuva about how to, now this is a very famous topic, but I'm just giving you the Sephardi side on here, of how to juggle Torah and science, Torah and medicine, Torah and, you know, all of the other chokhmot. And he writes very interestingly that it actually comes up, you know, everybody knows the famous machloket between Maran Bet Yosef and Poskei Ashkenaz with regards to fish and dairy. Yes? Everybody aware? Maran Bet Yosef says it's sakana, כמעט all פוסקי אשכנז write that it's a טעות סופר, it's טעות, and מנהג אחינו אשכנזים, they eat fish in there, and even many ספרדים do, because מרן אחידה and other פוסקים ספרדים also said it's טעות סופר, but many פוסקים came and defended מרן בית יוסף. So, broaching this topic, the חקרי לב writes that where medicine or science doesn't contradict Chazal, if there's no open contradiction in Chazal, we have no problem accepting the science and even incorporating it into halakha. When does it become a problem? When there's a direct head-on collision between medicine or science and halakha, or Chazal, more specifically, we'll go with Chazal. Even, well, there's many, many examples in halakha where we took Chazal's word for it over medicine. For instance, when Maran writes in Shulchan Aruch that you're allowed to kill a louse on Shabbat. You know what a louse is? Well, yeah, a louse is singular of lice. Maran says that you're allowed to kill it because it is generated from sweat, and it's, since it's from spontaneous generation, and it's not a product of Pirya V'Rivya, therefore the Isur of killing it doesn't apply on Shabbat. Maran Meforash. Although, Chachmei Umot HaOlam disagree with this, and they say it's that's not the case, but la'alacha, many there are Rishonim that disagree also. But Maran Paskins like the Rambam, the simple understanding of Maran, that it's mutar laharo kina b'Shabbat, is mutar. Even though, scientifically, that's not true. We go with Chazal, kacha halacha. There are many, many, many examples to this on Shabbat, in halacha. But at the end of the day, as long as science does not openly contradict Chazal or halacha, we have no problem accepting it and even incorporating it. Stayst? Anything else to wrap it up for tonight, Rabotai? Yeah,
Chavo.
So that is true, because the reason why those were incorporated into the Korbanot is so that we should have a little bit of Limud Torah. At least if a person learns nothing else, at least you have Mishneot in there, Gemarot, whatever. So over there, a person should try at least once to sit down and just understand just the simple meaning. Ezem Kohen Shen Zvachim, where it talks about the Korbanot, Abaye Avam Sadeh Seder Ma'aracha, just to understand. But if you mamash have zero clue, there's no isur to read it, but you're not gaining much. You're just reading part of the Seder Tefillah, which is excellent, but at least once, sit down, decipher it, see what it's talking about, and then you'll know for life, oh, you have an idea. Yeah.
If you don't understand this Korban,
read it anyway.
Are you able to do about the Tzanik?
Vadai.
You
also? Absolutely, yeah. Yerushalayim should read Rashi also, or even English, or whatever, but do not skimp on Unkelus Rabotai. It's been a pleasure. Laila Tov. See you tomorrow, B'zat Hashem.